Hey, Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavīryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So, what's up? Western Ocean, Wave 2, Chapter 37, Verse 57. Impetuses for Krishna's service. Krishna's mercy, attaining his foot dust or food remnants, and association with Krishna's devotees, are some of the unique udipanas, stimuli for this rasa. Srila Prabhupada. The causeless mercy of Krishna, the dust of his lotus feet, his prasad, and association with his devotees are some impetuses towards the devotees' engagement in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami. Udipanas such as attaining Krishna's mercy are not udipanas for vatsalya rasa at all. At particular times, these udipanas unique to dasya rasa occur. Association with the devotees of Krishna implies, in this case, special types of association with dasya bhaktas. Right? Because with dasya bhaktas, they'll become even more inspired, so it becomes an udipana in there. So he's saying it's specific in this rasa, but that some of these are specific for, are some of the unique udipanas. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. 3258. Attaining mercy. O Kripacharya, O Brahmanas, see Krishna's mercy to me, the most fallen. Krishna, the object of meditation, has appeared to my eyes at the time of my death. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna exhibited his causeless mercy when he was present at the departure of grandfather Bhishma. During the battle of Kurukshetra Bhishma Day, the grandfather of Arjuna was lying on a bed of arrows before departing from this mortal world. When Lord Krishna, Maharaj Yudhishthira, and the other Pandavas approached Bhishma Dev, he was very grateful to Lord Krishna, and he addressed the Brahmana military commander, Kripacharya, thus, "My dear Kripacharya, just see the wonderful causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. I am most unfortunate. I have no qualification. I was opposing Krishna's most intimate friend, Arjuna. I even tried to kill him. I have so many disqualifications, and yet the Lord is so kind that He has come to see me at this last point of my life. He is worshipable to all great sages, but still he is so merciful that he has come to see an abominable person like me." 3259. Then the next one was, okay. Sound of his flute and horn, his glance with a smile, hearing the excellence of his qualities, the lotus, the marks on his feet, new clouds, and fragrance of his body, are considered the regular udipanas. Right? So those would be the standard ones, but they may be common with others like that. But the report says that they're unique and that they're specifically the ones that inspire there. You might find some of them, you know, like his food remnants or that are also inspiring to the others. But it's not, let's say, so prominent like that. But with these, then that's going to be a very, very major aspect. Sometimes the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute, his bugling, his smiling, his footmarks on the ground, the transcendental fragrance of his body, and the appearance of a new cloud in the sky also become impetuses for ecstatic love to him. 3260. The sound of the flute from Vidagdamada. Hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, the thousand eyes on Indra's shaking body are shedding tears which are falling on the ground. That must be a dream. Though there are no clouds in the sky, Vrindavan has been nourished by showers made of those tears. Yeah, very poetic, huh? Srila Prabhupada. In the Vidagdha Madhava, there's the following statement. When Krishna was playing on his flute, Baladev very anxiously declared, "Just see how, after hearing the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute, Indra, the king of heaven, is crying in his heavenly kingdom. And from his teardrops falling on the ground, Vrindavan appears to have become a celestial residence for the demigods." Srila Jiva Goswami. Deva Matrikam, having Indra as foster mother, means nourished by rainwater. So they're saying that there, except that that's just his claim, and then you have the rain and all these things. So even the rain is being seen in that context. 3261. The Anubhavas. Being completely involved in serving according, I guess it's supposed to be to one's capacity. Friendship with the Lord's servants, with absence of even a trace of envy on seeing the excellence of others' service, and being fixed in their love, which are all considered as akshita, are the special anubhavas of the dasas. Footnote 16. Anubhavas, which are chitta, are defined in 223. Anubhavas are of two types, with the suitable names of chitta, meaning cool, and lack of bodily movement, and kshepana, meaning throwing about, involving distinct bodily movements. Chitta includes singing, yawning, breathing heavily, disregarding others, drooling and smiling. Kshepana includes dancing, rolling on the ground, shouting, stretching the body, bellowing, laughing loudly, whirling around and having hiccups. So in other words, they'll always have the chitta ones. They won't have these other ones because they get in the way of the service. Like that, so they're just not interested. So even if they're starting to come up, they'll control them.
Yeah. The all these symptoms that are listed, obviously they don't happen all at once.
You can get a lot of them at once. You know, you can be dancing and stretching the body, bellowing, laughing, whirling about. I mean, you can have all that. But probably dancing and rolling on the ground would be, you know, one would follow the other. Yeah, no, that's the, what I mentioned before is that you can have one, you can have a few, you can have a whole bunch of them. But I think also depending on the rasas, whether they have or not, like I think if it's in the ones that are down within sadhakas that aren't on the platform of liberation, you generally only get one at a time, and they won't have that intensity. But then that's the point, when you get up into bhava, then you can have many of them. And then prema means you have many of them. So that's why prema can't be experienced in the material body. You have to have a spiritual form, because the material body can't handle the pressure.
To the limit of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic symptoms of the Gambhira.
Yeah, well those are even within ecstatic symptoms and very special.
Yeah.
Because when it mentions all the main ones, it's just talking about the major that you count it like that. There's so many like sub things and this and that and other aspects. And so those ones are very unique, so they're not brought out much. You know, you don't have the means, it doesn't matter for us because we're not going to have those symptoms. Like that.
It's actually interesting thinking of it when you read in the Antya Lila, you know. Or even during the Ratha Yatra festival, especially in Antya Lila, you know, the teeth loosening, the limbs stretching, and you actually don't have this listed in all the symptoms of pure love of God in the nectar of devotion.
No, no.
They're not there.
Because sadhakas, what? Sadhakas can't do that. And so the point is what's being mentioned here are things that you can be aware of and may come up in the practice.
Yeah.
But these ones won't. And then, even of those with spiritual forms, these are rare. So we see we hear about the manifest with the Lord. You know, so Lord Chaitanya manifests, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra manifesting. Mm-hmm. So you don't really hear much of anybody else doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Kichika may have kind of had that kind of look, but I don't think it was from a static transcendental status. Like that. He had some help, though, from the association of a pure devotee. So you could say it's what do you call it? Those sattva bhavsa, sattva. No. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Ecstatic love for Krishna, which is known as anubhava, is symptomized by the following signs. One becomes engaged exclusively in the service of the Lord, being attentive to carry out the orders of the Lord faithfully. One becomes undisturbed and non-envious in full transcendental loving service to the Lord. And one makes friendship with the devotees of the Lord who are situated in faithful service to Him. All these symptoms are called anubhava, ecstatic love, because they come, you have the udipana is there, and then these are the effects that are there. They'll be there within the mind, and so then you'll see them manifest physically. Srila Jiva Goswami. Tannishtata means to be fixed only in priti, dasya bhava. Right? So they're fixed very nicely. It inspires them in that. 3262. Being absorbed in service. Okay, that was the... Okay. When Dharuka was fanning Krishna with a chamara whisk, overcome with prema, his body became increasingly paralyzed. But because that bliss would be an obstacle in serving Krishna, he did not welcome that ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada. The first symptom of anubhava, or engagement in a particular type of service, is exemplified by Dharuka, a servant of Krishna who used to fan Krishna with a chamara, a bunch of hair. When he was engaged in such service, he was filled with ecstatic love, and the symptoms of ecstatic love became manifest in his body. But Dharuka was so serious about his service that he checked all these manifestations of ecstatic love and considered them hindrances to his engagement. He did not care very much for these manifestations, although they automatically developed. Srila Jiva Goswami. Premanandam anga stambha rambham utang gayantam nabhyan nandat means he did not welcome the increase of paralysis in his limbs due to prema. The meaning is as follows. Prema has two varieties of qualities, stambha and other symptoms, and the desire to please the Lord. The servants cherish the desire to please the Lord because this fulfills their goal of serving the Lord. They are not attached to the symptoms like paralysis because this can become an obstacle to their service. Thus, Dharuka did not welcome prema in his portion which causes paralysis, but he did welcome that part of prema which causes pleasure to the Lord. This is according to the rule Savi se shane vidhi nishedhau vishe shanam upasam kramata sati visheshye bhate. Statements of affirmation and denial change the meaning of their particular descriptive elements if there is a contradiction to the principal subject. Footnote 17. This is found in Nyaya Vartita Tarpaya Tika, the commentary on Gotama's Nyaya Sutras by Vachaspati Misra. Dharuka's essential nature is prema, and thus any statements to the contrary should be neglected. So you have the primary point that's there, because we see is what's the main features of their particular mood. And so anything that contradicts that would just be neglected. So in here, then you would say he doesn't care for this aspect of prema. Then one could take it that, oh, he's not interested in prema or these, you know, that aspect of, you know, serving Krishna. But here it's being pointed out that no, that has to be neglected because we've already established the nature of prema and their desire to serve and everything. So because of that desire to serve, that gets in the way of doing that service because that's what the unique aspects of their kind of udipans and all that. They see that they want to do a particular service. They're attentive to what service could be done. Right? And so they're focused on that. And so then this doesn't... So this is important because sometimes we'll take... If there's something that's opposed, then we try to take that and make it magnify it greater than the actual position. And then say, see, he doesn't actually have so much love. That's why they're on a lower level. But the gopis just see them. They are, you know... Does that make sense? So we have to be very careful, because this is something that we try to use, and the fun part is we use it trying to be logical. But according to the logic, in Gyopa and Gotamas, you know, in Nyaya, that if something's already established as the primary, and these secondary things comes up and they're contrary to it, then it's neglected. So it's not used to defeat the other aspects. Does that make sense? Because it's not rasa bas. That's the point. It fits the mood. Because as we said, the shitala aspects and all that, that they appreciate. Because why? Because you can still do service. While the other ones that cause the physical, those may get in the way of service. You know, you're trying to do some nice service and you start hiccuping or laughing or rolling on the ground. Really hard to do your service. Yes?
Something related. When there is specific, for example, when we say in Kapila Gita, when Kapila is preaching to Devahuti, and she is his mother, mm-hmm. she has prema for him, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then he preaches to her Shankya. Mm-hmm. And some devotees, they say, why would he do that if she's already on prema? Why does she need Shankya? Can we say that they are mixing two things, which are...
Yeah, it means the See, the difficulty comes is that for someone on the platform of prema, hearing the name, form, qualities, or pastimes of Krishna, is it a problem? So then, why would they take it that it's a mix, it's something that doesn't match? You know? So that's the difficulty, is that we apply our own ideas, because we have the ideas that prema just means you're ecstatically running around and basically doing absolutely nothing unless it pleases you that you do something that's, you know, something pleasant. You know, because it's centered on ourselves, it's not centered on Krishna. So these, you know, so we're looking at it, the pleasure we'll get from it. And so they're looking at Shankya, that won't give pleasure, so that's not nice, and she's already that, so I wouldn't like that, so therefore. So you have to be very careful, because that then becomes into rasa bas. Because hearing chanting and all that, devotees don't mind these things. They're quite happy with these. Just like the gopis wouldn't have a problem hearing Mahabharata or Ramayana, because it's about Krishna. But we will project that, no, they're on a higher level. Why would they hear this lower level stuff? So this coming from, that's a mistake the sahajas make. So here's very mild, but one has to be careful. The other aspect is that she has come, the point is, are they neglecting the part that she's asked her son to explain about self-realization? Because she feels that she in her position, her husband's now left for the forest for self-realization. And so she stayed back with the son, so she's asking that he explain so she can, you know, appreciate that same level. So then why would Shankya be against it's exactly what she asked for. You know, it's like when Prabhupada says, spiritual master asks for water, you don't bring milk. Well, you know, water's there, but milk is better and all that, so then bring milk, you know, don't do that. You know. Another thing is that who are you going to speak this philosophy to? Right? Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita, you know, Kapila Gita, who are you going to speak to? You can't speak to an ordinary person. I was, you know, you were talking about listening to the lectures and stuff like that on the box, right? So, in one of them, I'm not sure where it is. I kind of get the idea that it may be at 26 Second Avenue, but I'm not sure. But there's one, like, run of classes where there's, you can kind of tell there's some lady in the background. She's constantly talking throughout whatever Prabhupada's saying. You know, one is inquiring, well, what's that? And other times it's kind of like she knows. So it appears that it's somebody who's had some contact or maybe in university studied philosophy or something. So they got something to say about everything. So you can't, Prabhupada's explaining this very nice point, but then she's getting to some kind of external aspect of it, some detail, and just asking about that. Well, how can that be? That's not logical. You know, even though it's a class, I get the idea that it's more than just her there. But so Prabhupada always has to, yes, but leads to that, and then, you know, keeps going. So you can't get very far. So unless it's a pure devotee, how can you explain the whole philosophy beginning to end? Because the conditioned soul, you know, they don't even get out of the gate generally, let alone, you know, all the way to the end. So it has to be the pure devotees. And so then in that those situations, so you see, Arjuna took that of a condition so that he was in illusion. And so then from there, he's bringing it from that material position that we'll find ourselves in and brings it forward to you know, perfection. Then with Devahuti, then she's not taking, so it means she's taking a conditioned or affected by her position. But she's not in illusion and all that about, oh, my husband's left and this. She's not doing that one. So you can see is therefore it can start it a little bit, it can start farther down the line. But all the different principles that are given in the Gita will be, because we see the second chapter of Shankya. So we open there. So what's the problem with Shankya? You know, it's like Arjuna's in friendship Ras, and he's explaining Shankya. Then why do we complain if it's parental Ras? I mean, what's the major difference there? Like that. So then he can get right into and give more depth of that, because you're starting at a more understanding. Well, then in Uddhava Gita, then you're starting with someone who's very intelligent and very, you know, scholarly. And then how to bring the fine points of scholasticism in line with pure devotion. You know, so it's because it's already the Bhagavad Gita and Kapila Gita, those things are already taken as a foundation. Now you're getting the fine points. So it'd be like you're explaining more the last chapters of Gita. But bringing that, each one of those, in line with pure devotion. Is that? Yeah. So, that's the thing, we have to be careful in speculation, because the whole point is that they're taking it that Shankya is a lower thing, but for us, is it a lower thing? Being able to understand the whole primary creation and how that works, and so therefore how all the modes work and everything, and how we're affected by this under all circumstances and all that. So, and then that way you could see how Krishna is in everything through these things. And, you know, so it's quite a, you know, I mean, you're talking at minimum level, you're talking about the Shanta Bhakta. You know, so if we're not at that level, then why would we make the comments? Because, you know, if it's one thing if she asks, you know, Kapila Dev, you know, could you explain to me, you know, the surrender of the residents of Braja and things like that, and especially that of the gopis and of that of Srimati Radharani and their affection and love. And then he starts off speaking Shankya. Then you could say, what's going on here? But that's not how she started. She started off as that, you know, we're not so sharp on these things, well, not so intelligent, and so therefore then could you please explain to us the process of self-realization. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
We see this, like this point is mentioned there by Vachaspati Mishra. They are Mayavad scholars, but they have the culture to understand the finities of this anything related to relationship.
Yes,
but
yes.
Because, as you said, they also miss this point. They don't understand the fine details of Sankhya philosophy, basically how Shakti Parinama was and all. That's why they cannot go beyond a level to enter into Bhakti platform.
Yes.
But
the culture, the religion is the common point of everybody who follows the Vedas. And generally there's a refinement, if not in the, maybe not in the sophistication of external manifestation, but in the subtleties of personal relationship and personal interaction. Because you find even the most unsophisticated person can deal very personally in an interaction. But, you know, the externals around them might be a little bit more gross and all that.
And this particular person has a very unique story.
Vachaspati Mishra.
His desire was to write a commentary on his gurus.
So he's a direct disciple of Gautama?
No. He's from Mayavad Sampradaya. I mean,
oh, okay.
So Advaitava. So Shankaracharya's commentary, he wants to write a commentary on Sharira Tavasya.
Okay.
So then he thought, after I finish that, then I'll take sannyas.
Mm.
Meanwhile, his parents pressurize him for getting married. Then he tells to the father-in-law that, like, this is my desire. But because my parents are pressurizing me, I just am coming and sitting here. And his father-in-law tells, like, to daughter. Daughter says, no problem, I'll marry. Then he comes and tells, my daughter is ready to marry, so are you ready? If she has already taken decision, I don't have any authority to say anything now. I'll marry.
Mm.
And the moment he got married, everything happens. They reach home. He doesn't enter inside home. He starts sitting outside and writing, because that is on a very auspicious day.
Oh, okay.
So he thinks that's a good day to write. And he keeps writing for 7 years.
Sitting outside the door.
He goes inside the home, but like lost in himself. And then after 7 years, the final day, he finishes writing. That was in the night.
Okay.
So then he goes to keep the lamp off. Then he sees some lady inside the home sleeping. He was surprised. Who is she? And he wakes her up and asks, who are you? He says, I'm the same wife like whom you married 7 years ago.
But he didn't even notice she was there the whole time.
Then wait a minute, he says. He sees her hands. Yes, these are the hands which are serving me prasad every day, cleaning my place and all. He doesn't even see her face.
He just saw the hands.
So he could recognize where her hands are. And then he becomes very emotional at that moment and says that, actually, I have taken this vow that I have to take sannyas. No, but even after knowing that, why did you marry me? And she says that if somebody can do such a great service for the society, then I am ready to sacrifice like my whole life for that. Then he names his commentary by her name, Bhamati commentary. And the whole school is called Bhamati school. So people may not remember me, but they'll remember you.
Does he take sannyas at the end?
Yeah, he takes sannyas immediately after.
Sure.
Woe is woe.
No matcha.
I
gotta think about this very seriously now.
That story is very famous in the whole.
Well, you've been working on a commentary. You're working on a serious commentary on Korla's cookbooks.
In Chinese.
Okay. Arambha means plentiful. Instead of Anga, Stambharambham. Sometimes Anga Stambha Sangam. Uninterrupted paralysis of the limbs is seen. 3.2.63. The ordinary Anubhavas of the Dasas are all the Udbhasvaras mentioned previously for note 18. They were mentioned in 2.2.2. Dancing, rolling on the ground, singing, shouting, stretching the body, growling, yawning, panting, showing disregard for others, drooling, laughing loudly, shaking the body, and having hiccups. And as well for his friends of Krishna and detachment, etc., which are all Sita. Okay, so the ordinary bhavas mentioned before, as well as respect, which are all Sita, and as well as respect for Krishna's friends and detachment, etc. So in other words, all the standard ones that are there, the Anubhavas, that are all Shita.
Mm-hmm.
But not the, what was the other group called? What was the other group? Shita and Kshepana, throwing about. So the Kshepana ones, they leave. They're not interested in those. But the Shita ones, they'll take those.
Also, if they have something like Kshepana, it is like opposite to their mood, like Raktaka, he was once in the pastimes of with a cohort boyfriends, and they all joke. He also, like, it was so So then he also gets along then. But he covers his face, because if he laughs loudly, like, if Krishna feels something bad, or like, the whole mood changes.
Because he's a servant. Right?
Yeah.
Kshepana means?
Kshepana means throwing about.
Throwing
about. So in other words, it's very physical.
Yeah.
And the shita means it's not physical. It means you're engaging the body, but you do things, you're definitely. So basically, one, you can still be very active in your service. It doesn't affect the physical performance of your activity, while the kshepana tends to affect that.
Also, the simple meaning kshepana is like intense, and shita is cool. Or
okay, yes,
like
intense, cool. So they're cool.
Like Bengali kirtan, the evening arti. A lot of kshepana going on.
Then I don't know if they still call it, but back in the 70s, 80s, they would call that full rail gadi. You know, complete full train that are going full blast. That's what they call those kirtans. But in the morning is always shita, because they're still half asleep. Guru Puja, they've now become awake, but not, you know, like that.
Not
and
full.
Then noon, they're a little bit more, but in the evening, then they're fully animated.
Bouncing off the wall.
Yes, literally. So somehow it's always like that. 3.264. An example of dancing from the 10th canto. Shutadeva received Lord Achyuta into his home with as much enthusiasm as that shown by King Bahulasva. After bowing down to the Lord and the sages, Shutadeva began to dance with great joy, waving his shawl. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.86.38. So it appears if it's not disturbing the service, then it looks fine. But if it's going to disturb the service, then they'll block any of the kshepanas. And just, you know, because the shita doesn't bother them. It doesn't affect their service. But here is nothing specific to do, so he's dancing, just showing the ecstasy. Then he'll go into some specific service. Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 86th chapter, verse 38, there is a statement of how Shutadeva, a brahmana from the country called Mithila, in northern India, became so overpowered with joy as soon as he saw Krishna that immediately, after bowing to the Lord's lotus feet, he stood up and began to dance, raising his two arms above his head. 3.265, another example. Though you are not an expert at dancing, you have astonished us dancers so much with your spectacular routine that one would think that you learned dancing from the guru of dance called Prema. Srila Prabhupada. One of the devotees of Lord Krishna once addressed him in this manner. My dear Lord, although you are not a professional dancer, by your dancing you have so astonished us that we can understand that you are personally the master of all dancing. Certainly you must have learned this dancing art directly from the goddess of love. When a devotee dances in ecstatic love, there are manifestations of symptoms which are called sattvika. Sattvika means they are from the transcendental platform. They are not symptoms of material emotion. They come from the soul proper. Srila Jiva Goswami. Although you are not interested in the arts, tvam kalasu vimukho api, because you perform attractive movements, vichitra gati, charyayanchita, and have astonished even us expert dancers, charana api chitrayasi, you must have learned that dancing from the teacher of dance called Prema. In the verse, charanan, meaning professional dancers, means those who are like professional dancers by their expertise. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a professional, it just means that they're very expert by
It's interesting, as far as I understand, professional in a modern, you know, kind of term means you're getting money for what you do.
Yes. But before, being professional means you're as good at it as someone who makes money from it. You know, he's very professional. Just meant that he's expert.
Good.
Yeah, he's expert. So that would be, you know, the more poetic use. Nowadays, because it's more occupationally than professional means, that's your occupation. You know, like a like Leon.
Leon?
The professional. No? Then he was French.
Oh, yeah. That's him.
What was he doing?
Never mind.
He was a professional.
He was.
That's the main point.
Profession doesn't matter.
Occupation is secondary.
Yes, yes.
Professional keys.
Satyagambhavas. It is said that all the Satyagambhavas, starting with Stambha, paralysis, appear in Priti, Dasya, Preya, Shaka, and Madhura Rasa, footnote 20. In Vatsalya Rasa, as well as the eight, Satyagambhavas, the Satyagambhava milk flowing from the breast also occurs. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3, 4, 45. Yeah, so these things are showing what's the prominent elements, what are the prominent, because there's all these different ones you see is generally, some of them they just don't manifest, but basically is that they're all there, but they're not necessarily prominent. So when you say what are the symptoms, you'll look at what's the major aspects, not what's the minor aspect. Like that. 3267. See how this great devotee, permeated with the Satyagambhava Astambha, paralysis, from hearing sweet songs glorifying Krishna, has become the main pillar, stambha, holding up the pavilion, Bhakti Rasa. So far. 3268, from the 10th canto. Taking hold of the Lord's lotus feet again and again, Bali, the conqueror of Indra's army, spoke from his heart, which was melting out of his intense love. O king, as tears of ecstasy filled his eyes, and the hair on his body stood on end, he began to speak with faltering words. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.85.38. Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 85th chapter, verse 38, Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Purkhit that after surrendering everything under the lotus feet of Vamadeva, Bali Maharaj immediately caught hold of the lotus feet of the Lord and pressed them to his heart, being overwhelmed with joy. He manifested all the symptoms of ecstatic love with tears in his eyes and faltering voice. 3269-70. Vyavichari Bhavas. 24 Vyavichari Bhavas appear in Priti Rasa. Harsha, joy, garva, pride, driti, steadiness, nirveda, self-disgust, vishada, remorse, dainyam, humility, chinta, pondering, smriti, remembrance, shankha, apprehension, mati, finding meaning through scriptural reference, outshukya, impatience, chapalata, insolence, Vitarka, conjecture, avega, confusion of the mind, hrid, jadyam, indecision. Oh, hrid, jadyam, so I guess they're both the same thing. Moha, loss of internal awareness. Unmade, insanity. Avahita, concealment. Bodha, enlightenment. Swapna, klama, debility. Vyadi, sickness, and mriti, death-like symptoms. 3271. So that would mean is that the going unconscious and all that. 3271. Right? So we saw that mriti wasn't there in Shanta, because that whole point is that they're always conscious of the Lord and always, you know, seeing him in everything. So that aspect of knowledge, so they never go unconscious. They're just always absorbed in. But let's see, with here, then that may be.
I think we are dealing with some of sickness.
Sickness. They that don't
also
sickness.
Do not have.
Okay.
I mean, as an ecstatic symptom.
Okay. Yes?
You know, there are various pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam where the demigods, you know, they seem to be very familiar with Vishnu, with Krishna when he appears in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to be, you know, like, they just offer prayers and they glorify him.
But those are you know, would be, you could say, ecstatic symptoms.
Right.
You know, from they would be natural Anubhavas or other things like that. The intensity of that, then that's not going to be as much, because we see as they're a servant, then the being adikritas,
yeah,
that they're appointed. Right. So they're in that position because of their devotion and piety. So their devotion, but they have lots of piety, and so the inclination towards that kind of service. So then they get the position of demigods. So there's going to be, but then we see by the ecstatic symptoms that are before, I think what was the lowest one was smoking? Yeah. Smoldering.
Smoldering.
Yeah, so that it hasn't, like the fire aspect hasn't really come up. So it'll be symptoms within that. So it'll be, compared to us, then very great, but compared to those on the platform of prema, and that won't be as prominent. But it's still the same principles.
Then you have other cases, like Dhruva, for example. The Lord appears. He doesn't say anything for quite a while. It's like...
Yeah, so it is.
Himself.
But it just depends on the individual, which one will manifest at what time. You know, like that, because sometimes you see they just get really chatty, and so they talk so much, or yeah, this or that. You know, so it's just which one's there. So it's not that being stunned has to be there, but it is one of the prominent, you know, symptoms. And so then you see that does come up occasionally. But he also then drew Maharaj, because of his being so young, he didn't have that training.
He didn't know how to speak.
So then when the Lord touched his head with the conch shell, then he was able to speak all the prayers and everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that, you know, he's 5 years old, he wasn't trained. He's probably, by the sounds of it, hasn't gone to Gurukul yet. Otherwise, he wouldn't be, you know, sitting on his father's lap and talking to his mom, and she's screaming that he'd be at the Gurukul.
But on the other hand, Prahlad is very confident.
He just comes
forward.
Yeah, because he was trained. He did. He heard from Narad Muni. Because his mother was in Narad Muni's ashram, and so he actually heard the instructions. And I think he didn't come for 100 years.
Yes.
You know, so his mother waited until his father came back until she delivered the child. So that means after 7 months you're conscious. So that means for
90 days.
Yeah. Basically 99 years and some months, and he's been hearing Narad Muni explaining the philosophy, so he's very well trained in the philosophy.
How do you know Hiranyakashipu went for 100 years?
Yes, he went for 100 years.
He went for 100 years.
Yeah.
He just didn't connect the two. He says that he went for 100 years.
Yes, he went for 100 years.
Gee. That's
so that was why the demigods thought he's going for 100 years, now's our chance, because if he only went for a few weeks and that, you never know exactly
when he comes back.
Yeah, you know, you got to make sure. See, he's away 100 years, now we can try it.
Narad Muni delivered the whole demon family just by one shot, preaching to Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes, delivered the whole family.
Not the whole family, all the demonic, because... Even now.
Okay, yes, because he trained his mates and all that.
Even now, all the lower Vilasvarga, he is the lord of it. Though he stays in one of the planetary systems, he's the lord of all, from Patala to all of it.
So all seven?
All the seven, yeah.
Oh, okay. Bhamani?
No, Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, okay, so he's in charge of all of them.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Though Bali is there, Bali Maharaj is...
Okay,
so grandson, so always Prahlad Maharaj is the senior most, everybody respects. Mayadana, name anyone. They are like under you.
Okay. Cool. And he's Chiranjeev? Prahlad?
Yeah, I think so, because some of the past times it comes that he's.
Yeah, because it's been a while, so I kind of get the idea he's Chiranjeev. So that means to the end of the creation he'll be managing them.
From that pastime, another lesson we can take is that she didn't get liberated, his mother, because she was constantly sleeping during Bhagavatam class.
Oh, okay.
So she didn't get much benefit,
okay. But
he was very, like, attentive.
Okay.
So, I mean, she got benefit, but it wasn't...
She didn't get the realization.
Yeah, as
she
much.
Didn't fly. So probably Madhana was less.
Yeah. So we should try to stay awake during Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Also, her anxiety was always about her husband.
Yeah, he goes away for 100 years. But in those days, because that was Satyuga, you know?
Yeah.
So 100 years is not much out of 100,000. So it's like...
In this context, which Prabhuji was telling, Paramatma Sandarbha, it's mentioned about like how the Lord, all his activities in the material world is only meant for his devotees. Now all the aspects of demigods and then his favoring demigods all comes just to enhance this devotee's presence in the creation. And it's mentioned there that they are the expansions of the Lord goes into the demigods so that the pastimes of Lord and his devotees becomes more sweeter. Mm-hmm. Because they all can assist.
Yeah, and they'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because the potency, like say the Indra, that Indra-ness of Indra is Krishna. Otherwise, he's just a jiva like everyone else. So he acts like Indra, does everything. So because that potency is there, then the demigods create the environment in which then the pastime, like all the demigods are there. And then, Prahlad Maharaj is there. So they won't come forward, but Prahlad Maharaj will, and then you have that whole pastime and everything. So, and everything goes very nicely. Mm. Okay. 3271. The other 9, mada, rapture, shrama, fatigue, trasha, sudden fear, apasmara, alasya, sloth, ugrata, krota, asuya, fault finding. Anasuya means not fault finding.
Anasuya.
Yeah, doesn't find fault.
Nice name.
Hmm?
And all the bodies of Anasuya.
Yeah.
Also, Mara, Asuya means envious.
Asuya also means envious. Nidra, sleep. Do not nourish Priti Rasa. In meeting the Lord, Harsha, Garva, and Driti manifest. And in separation from the Lord, Klama, Glani, Vyadhi, and Mriti manifest. According to the devotees, the remaining 18 Vyadachari Bhavas manifest both in union with and separation from the Lord. So then these, what was Harsha? Harsha's joy, Garva's pride, and Driti's steadiness. So when they're with the Lord, then those come up. And then when they're not with the Lord, then the, was it Klama, or was Klama? I'm not finding that. Vyadi and Mriti.
Klama, just before.
Oh, they're just off the end. Klama, Vyadi, okay. So, debility, sickness, and death-like symptoms. Those manifest when he's not there. So the opening ones, joy, pride, and steadiness, those are going to be when they're with the Lord. When he's not with the Lord, then the last ones, the debility, sickness, and mriti, are there. And then all the ones in between, they can be on either side. They can be manifest both parts. Srila Prabhupada. In such expressions of ecstatic love, there are many other subsidiary symptoms, such as jubilation, withering, silence, disappointment, moroseness, reverence, thoughtfulness, remembrance, doubtfulness, confidence, eagerness, indifference, restlessness, impudence, shyness, inertness, illusion, madness, ghastliness, contemplation, dreaming, disease, and signs of death. When a devotee meets Krishna, there are symptoms of jubilation, pride, and perseverance. And when he's feeling great separation of Krishna, the symptoms of ghastliness, disease, and signs of death become prominent. So these are all, means you're going to have these, because when they're saying, I can say, is why it means, because you see is that he'll say something very specific, and then he starts giving the same specifics, even though he's talking about Shantaras, more general. And you see, especially in Prabhupada's, dealing with it, that he's showing the broader range of it. And so when you say, no, but we're talking about Priti Ras here. We are talking about Priti Ras, but you have to remember, Priti Ras is when it matures more, it becomes friendship. That more it becomes parental, more it becomes conjugal. So priti is there all the way through, that sense of service. Just as it goes up, then there may be certain symptoms that don't manifest because of the friendship, parental, or conjugal. But otherwise, the general is that joy, pride, and steadiness is going to be there in any of the four higher rasas when they're with Krishna. And when they're not with Krishna, then the debility, sickness, and death-like symptoms are going to be there. Or debility, probably also mentioned, what do you call it?
Ghastliness.
You know, it's just, in other words, remember Rupa Goswami mentioned that you have the one Vyabhichari Bhava, but sometimes there's so many, synonyms of it. You know, other forms of it that are basically the same aspect. So, does that make sense? So that's why it has both. It has the specific for that group, but it also, those symptoms you may see in the higher three rasas, also because there is that element of servitorship. Srila Jiva Goswami. Madadinam refers to mada, shrama, trasha, apasmara, alasya, ugrata, krodha, asuya, nidra. So does that mean that these are all the ecstatic symptoms manifest in that particular place and that's why it became so prominent? No? Well, there's not much discussion of those things, is it? Mada, intoxication or rapture, does not nourish dasya rasa at all, because the transformations that occur from drinking liquor, indulgence, and love are not suitable for service. Footnote 21. The two types of mada are intoxication with liquor and love. 2435. So intoxication can be both.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it in that way of love. That's far out.
Because certain, things happen in the body.
Yeah, but also it's just because the effect of intoxication is illusion. So that they're so in love. Remember once it was so classic. We went to do a wedding ceremony at Jagannath Mandir. It was back probably in the 80s sometime. So everyone's so, they're so absorbed in making all the arrangements. So it's just, the wedding's at this particular time. So they didn't even think about how I'm going to get from the Gurukul to there. So I walked up there, right? And then they had, all the different, got all this stuff, had to find somebody who knew where it was, because everyone in the marriage didn't, but I think that whoever was kind of managing Jagannath Mandir, then, they stuck stuff in this go down. So I got the stuff, set everything up, and everything was ready like that for the time. Just before the marriage was supposed to happen, then a huge storm came. Not the tornado one, the one after it.
Yeah.
It was actually more of a storm.
It's stronger. Faster.
Yeah. That kind of storm. So all the setup, because Jagannath Mandir is open, right? Especially the old Mandir. It was the old Mandir. It just blew everything out. Everything. There was like a few inches of water in the temple room, like that. And so I just thought, oh my God, this is crazy. Everything's done and this and that. How are we going to have this wedding and all this and that? So then I walked over, because you have the temple and you have kind of have you go out the gate and then there's kind of the kind of more residential area. So you have that one little house on the, just immediately on the left, that was only there. Then later that one for Harikesh and then the other guest house was made. So just that was there. And then when I went over there to talk about this, sitting in the door was the groom on a chair, and there were a few of the ladies, whatever it is of the family, were seeing that he was looking good and everything was all right and all that, and said he was total mada. I mean, just total like that. And so as soon as he saw me, because he knew I was the priest, he said, "So everything's ready, we should come now." I'm just thinking, he didn't even notice that there was a storm. And it was a heavy storm. So I just turned around, went back, and started to pick up stuff. the Jagannath kind of, I guess temple commander or whatever, he came along with a squeegee and started squeegeeing out the water. And, as if everything like that. And then they all came in, and then we had the wedding. So that's in case of intoxication in love, completely unaware. And the fun part is he was sitting in the door and still didn't notice the storm, right? So I think in the West they call it the power of love. Or
love is blind.
Love is blind, yeah, like that. Yeah.
Another people under the cool.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Is he still married?
I'm not sure. But I know of it, yes. You know? Like that. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know. Sometimes shrama, fatigue, will appear in dasya bhakti because it can nourish the eagerness to serve. However, it should not give rise to alasya, lack of enthusiasm to do service. Right? The fatigue may be there, and then you just, I feel I want to do. So then it becomes an impetus. But not that, I feel fatigue, I don't want to do anything. If trasa and other vyabhichari bhavas mentioned arise in connection with enemies of Krishna, they nourish dasya rasa, which one is trasa, sudden fear. Because then that comes up, they want to do something to protect Krishna or do something for Krishna. That's the statement that some vyabhichari bhavas do not nourish dasya rasa depends on where the mind of the devotee is directed. The same consideration should be understood in relation to Shakya and other rasas. So he's saying here is it does not nourish if it's not directed at Krishna. If it's directed at Krishna, it will. So, in other words, these won't be your prominent ones. Generally, there won't be the point when the stories will talk about the different ecstatic symptoms of the devotees, they won't be mentioning these ones that are not necessarily the prominent ones. They'll be mentioning the 3272. An example of Harsha, joy, from the first canto. The citizens began to speak to receive the Lord. With choked voices in joy, their faces cheerful with affection, just as wards become welcome their guardian and father. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.5. Srila Prabhupada, it is stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 5, that when Lord Krishna returned from the battlefield of Kurukshetra to his home in Dwarka, all the residents of Dwarka began to talk with him, as a child talks lovingly to his father after the father's return from foreign countries. This is an example of jubilation. 3273. Another example. Bahulasva, seeing Krishna, fell to the ground, thinking he would offer respects 100 times, but being agitated by joy, he forgot to rise up. Because to offer 100 times means you offer obeisance, then stand up, then offer obeisance. But he was so in ecstasy, he forgot to get up, so he's just there offering obeisance. Srila Prabhupada. When Bahulasva, the king of Mithila, saw Krishna in his palace, he decided to offer his respects by bowing down before him at least 100 times. But he was so overcome by feelings of love that after bowing down only once, he forgot his position and could not rise again. So it's interesting in this, they're giving that Bahulasva and the, what was the prominent? Shrutadharma. Because they're both the prominent in this. 3274. An example of Klama, also called Malani or Glani, depletion of energy, from Skanda Purana. Srila Prabhupada. In the Skanda Purana, a devotee tells Lord Krishna, "My dear Lord, as the sun evaporates all the water on the ground by its scorching heat, so my mental state has dried away the luster of my face and body due to separation from you." This is an example of withering in ecstatic love. Yeah, so here's depletion of energy. What was the one before that said like that? I think it was the same, right? Mm. Fatigue,
debility,
fatigue, just depletion of energy, ghastliness, and then here he says withering. So they're all different kind of aspects of the same thing. Srila Jiva Goswami. O Lord, as the sun dries up the lake in summer, The pain in the mind caused by separation from you dries up the mind and withers the lotus face of the devotee. 3275. Nirveda, self-deprecation. O son, thousands of rays coming from you are fortunate because they fall at the lotus feet of the Lord of the Yadus. But all my thousand eyes are useless because I have not seen him even from far off, and not even for a second. Srila Prabhupada. An expression of disappointment was made by Indra, the king of heaven. When he saw the sun god, Indra told him, "My dear sun god, your sunshine is very glorious because it reaches unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the master of the Yadu dynasty. I have thousands of eyes, but they have proved to be useless because not even for a moment are they able to see the lotus feet of the Lord." So it's like Daini Bodhika.
Yeah.
Like that, finding that. 3276. The Stai Bhava Priti Rasa. Eagerness to execute service with respect and trembling with eagerness because of knowledge of the Lord's greatness is the quality of Sambhrama. Footnote 22. Sambhrama Priti was also defined in verses 4 and 5 as identifying oneself as the servant of the Lord. Priti combined with this Sambhrama is called Sambhrama Priti. The learned call this Sambhrama Priti the Stai Bhava of Priti Rasa. And so it's different aspects of the same thing, because you have the Rati, you know, and then you have the Priti is that love, that then here you have the, so therefore then that you're being fixed in that, so that becomes the Priti Rasa. So you're tasting that circle of Rasa. So because the attraction is it will have that particular attraction of servership, but we see is then the other aspects that are there. And the other four, then they have very specific ways that they support. Like that. Let's say the other three. Because then because that combination, then that becomes the Stai Bhava. So those particular Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas, Vyabhichari Bhavas, and how they deal with them and all those things like that become very specific. So then that combination you call Priti Rasa. Because they'll taste that Samamra Priti, that love for Krishna and service, through that particular combination of Rasa. They won't be tasting, you know, aspects that go, that don't support. That's what you're meaning by the aspect of they follow that rasa. They don't go outside of that rasa. You know, it's just like with, you know, Daruka, then the Stambha is coming. So he doesn't follow that path. He pulls back from that path and keeps going on his path of service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that in spontaneous devotional service, there's no need of rules because you're following the taste, the rati. That rati is there, that prema is there. And so following that therefore you only do those aspects that are cultivating it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, let's say you are trying to cook something, you know, and the fire is there, you're going to bring the pot to where it's the hottest. You're not going to just keep it on the side. You're going to put it where it's hottest. And so that's the thing. You're always going to go to that point. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why no rules doesn't mean they just do anything they want. Mm-hmm. No rules means they specifically follow just the path of affection. And so that particular affection, therefore, has very specific symptoms of its path. Right? You know, so many are common, but it does have very specific. Otherwise, if it wasn't specific, then why would we discuss it? You know, and Rupa Goswami discussed it as its own separate entity. Srila Jiva Goswami, here, kampa, trembling, means a sense of unsteadiness because of thinking how one should do service properly. 23. In the commentary of verse 32166, it explained that kampa means trembling with eagerness to do service as quickly as possible. So you see, it's combined. It still has that element of doing service, even though there may be trembling and all that. 3277. In the chapter on Bhava in general, 136, it was explained that Bhava, Stai Bhava, appears by sadhana, usual, or by mercy, rare. This describes a process by which rati arises for the ashritas and others described in this chapter, who are sadhana siddhas. However, the rati of parishads and anugas described in this chapter is caused only by samskaras or impressions, since all the examples given were nitya siddhas. Seeing and hearing about Krishna stimulates the impressions. Right, so all these symptoms will come up by through sadhana to get to these positions. But you see, is that those who are the parishas or the anugas, then they're always with, they're the nitya siddhas. They're the always ones that, in other words, those are the positions that are always there. And then we can come in and support. That's why we're servants of the servants. Yeah. So the parishas would be the one, means the parishas and the anugas are always around with the Lord. But the parishas are ones who are there and interacting. They're the ones that the pastime is featuring with. And the anugas are the ones that are there in that pastime and giving supporting service. So therefore it's just impressions. That the impression of Krishna, that's how it goes. It's not the sadhana. The impressions of Krishna, that's what inspires them in their service, and they move forward. So even if you have jivas, then they're from the neutral point, the impressions of Krishna will drive them forward to prema. And so they'll be nitya siddhas. But then these impressions didn't drive them forward to Krishna, then coming to the material world, then through sadhana, then, or mercy, then they can get to that position. So then that would be the, what did he say? The ashritas. And what was the other ones? Adikritas. It would be also the same. They would be that there's some devotion, some sadhana that got them there. Like Prabhupada mentioned, you remember Krishna at the time of death, you go to Krishna, like that. Or if you're distracted by kind of material facilities and you know these kind of things, then you become these ashrita bhaktas, but it's not enough to take you back to Godhead, but not so much to put you in the heavenly planets, then you take birth in the family of devotees.
So it's like from this explanation we can also see that how, because of the intensity of one's attachment to Krishna, that's the main thing that will drive one toward that spontaneity in serving, basically, with Paragandha.
Yes.
Till the time that intensity is reached, one always performs the sadhana bhakti.
Yes.
And then the whole dynamics of how it's going on, like we can understand.
Yes. But even still, yes, of course. So it's by sadhana, because even someone comes to rag sadhana, then that still they started at vaidhi sadhana. But even though they come to rag sadhana, it doesn't mean that externally they're not following the form of vaidhi sadhana, because otherwise then what's the basis of community and interaction unless vaidhi is there? Like that. So even we say we don't care for vaidhi, like that, but then they will have things that particular group of associates, you know, or friends, they'll have particular activities they do, you know. So in that way, they have their own sadhana. Maybe they don't follow necessarily recommended, but they have their own. You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say, halfway through Guru Puja every day, then these two friends go buy Mahapizza and sit around the back of the conch building and eat and talk and that, and then, you know, get back in time for the class.
No.
They don't get back for the class.
No, they have pizza during Guru Puja.
Yeah, halfway through.
They offer flowers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so they offer the flowers and then go out for the pizza and they go around to the back. But you're saying, but do they make it back for the class or then they go home and watch it online?
I don't know, maybe they move on to the cakes.
Oh, so they go back to the thing, get more, and then come back around. So it's a very intense sadhana.
I've watched the whole scene, because I used to be part of that scene. In the early 90s.
So you're speaking from direct experience.
It goes reading the deities, offer flowers, go for the pizza, go for cake, sit on the bench, and chant your runs while you're talking.
Oh, this is rock.
Yes. So, I mean, they're following a natural, so it has its own sadhana. So like that, you see, everyone's following the path of rag. It's just a matter of whether it's connected with Krishna or not. But in this case, it's all about Krishna. It's all prasad. That's the beauty of it. If you were a smarta, it wouldn't work at all. But as devotees, you still make advancement.
But what wouldn't be working for smartas? Chanting rounds and talking?
They wouldn't be able to do that because their karmakandis, unless the chanting is completely focused, they wouldn't get the benefit from it. But if it's during the ritual, then they won't get the karmakanda benefit. If they came out and they were eating Mahaprasad pizza, they get the devotional benefit that they get. Like that. So anything connected with Krishna, you get benefit anyway. It's just a matter of whether you get some problem with it or not. Also, it's just like, let's say we take the Brahma-Bhuta platform, that neutral, that Tathasta position of the jiva, where there's no love for Krishna, but there's no attraction to the material world. You take that place, okay? So now, that's what you're saying here, is that impressions, then the nitya siddha, then they're in that specific point. Then the impressions of Krishna take them forward to prema. So very quickly, they just move through like that. Those that don't, they come to the material world, right? So now you're dealing with the conditioned side and the devotional side. So we're not on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Now, when we perform service, the spiritual from that Brahma-Bhuta towards prema is developing. At the same time, as because it's being done for Krishna, the Naishkarmya, we're getting ourselves from whatever conditioned position we are towards liberation. So that's why any devotee, you see the Shastras will talk about them as being liberated, because they're developing the path of bhakti on the other side of liberation. Right? Though it hasn't become permanent. That's why sometimes they say permanent liberation. So permanent liberation means when it's exclusively that they come to prema. While then for the devotees, even though it may be temporary, but it's got the eternal aspect because it will get there. While for the impersonalists, they may elevate themselves to that position of liberation. And that neutral point, but because of the karna sharir, they will be back. So then we will never say it's permanent, even though they may be there for so long, but we'll never say it's permanent. Well, for the devotee, then whether he's liberated, now whether it's permanent liberation or he doesn't necessarily act on that platform. So that's why the sadhakas will talk about getting to that liberated platform, but we mean permanent liberation. So that means that you're developing both at once. So when the Naishkarmya comes up and that surrender, then at one point, then practically, you're on the liberated platform. And then depending upon how much the devotion has developed, from that, then that will just continue from that liberated platform. That will be much quicker because you don't have any conditioning to stand in the way. Does that make sense? So it's not just where we are, it's just moving forward from there. It's moving forward there and moving forward from the neutral towards Krishna simultaneously. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why devotees aren't easy to understand, because their position is so different from the karmis and jnanis. Because the karmis is like this, they do their things, they're serious, they do all the things very nicely, that's why they get the benefit. Devotees aren't doing all that, but they're getting benefit. It's kind of like what's going on here. You know, and then the others, the liberation and all that, so all the renunciation, all the knowledge and all that, devotees don't have that, but they have that liberated position. So it becomes very difficult to understand. So the karmis and jnanis both can't relate to them. And then devotees, depending upon whether it's more the karma and jnana, then they may also not understand the devotees around them. You know, because they don't understand. You know, it's that the deal with everybody, it's like, you know, it's either, you know, it's like that. All or nothing. You're either an Uttamadhikari or you're just a schmutz, you know, like that. So it doesn't, there's nothing really in between.
Not understanding devotees around you, that's conditioned, right?
Yes, that's what we mean. That was just another synonym for this thing. Like that. And so then the Madhyamat, he can appreciate devotees, so they can start to appreciate the platforms. They may not realize it, but they can appreciate it. So they can appreciate the different positions that are there and act accordingly. Well, the neophyte is just they're advanced or they're not. So that's why, as a general rule, deal with all devotees as advanced. Because that way, since you don't know, you won't make a mistake. Difficulty comes up as if they find any symptoms that they understand are not advanced, then immediately the person is just the same as them, you know. You're just sorry.
No, I'm just
thinking. Exactly. Which is static symptom is that?
I'm just thinking of the dynamics.
Oh, then that. What was that? The dynamic. But what was the thing? No, the Nirveda. Okay. So Nirveda. Manifesting the static symptoms of Nirveda.
If you look back in history, the dynamics of the courtyard to the temple and the conch building when there was no Panchatattva.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it was madness during Guru Puja. I mean, it was like everybody was eating outside. Koma would come with cakes, the pizza would come out, everybody would go nuts. Then
See, this is what you have to understand. That's the importance in the Gaudiya of the Bengalis, because they'll continue to do the kirtan and all, because they're not really interested in pizza. Now, if you came out there with Muslim Muri and stuff like that, then you see all the Westerners would be doing the kirtan and they'd be out in the courtyard. Yeah,
so then Panchatattva comes, you know, the building is built, and then Panchatattva has its own courtyard. Now, you look at the dynamics in that courtyard. Those who come out, they chant japa. Those who are in the conch building courtyard, they eat.
That's true.
And it's still going on like that. Why? Because in the Panchatattva courtyard, there's no prasadam available, except when Tamali is setting up his table.
Well, that's only 10 days a year.
I've noticed the Panchatattva courtyard is the sadhana courtyard. Paramanava courtyard is beyond sadhana.
It's also looking north direction, which means brahmachari ashram. And that the other one looks into, you know, like southwest or something. So it means grihastha park. So different energy coming from that side and a different energy coming from
so here. So then the thing would be it would be important then, because I don't know, it means that used to be that the Mahasha was in the corner.
Yeah.
But they should put a little alleyway through that from the back of the conch building, you could go through into there, you know. Because you have those under the stairs, where the stairs are.
Yeah, under the stairs.
You know, so through there used to be, I don't know what's there now, but there used to be these huge rooms down there.
Yeah.
They were going to be restaurants and other things like that. So what they are now, I don't know.
Well, there's an office for... Oh, yeah, the big room is still there.
Okay.
But it turned into office and...
Yeah, but I'm saying that you could easily put a little,
little
hallway
just
in there.
Down
so you
the
could
wall
just go through the back and get all the good stuff. So the front you have all that, and then the back is where the real goods are going on. Yeah. No? Yeah, and they have the little wash thing at the back there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That, you
know. At least they wash their hands.
At least, yes, they wash their hands before they chant japa while they talk, right? Okay, how are we doing? Okay, a few more minutes we have. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The cause of rati for the ashritas and others is described in the section on bhava. However, the cause of appearance of rati for the parishas and others, anugas, are eternally perfect impressions, anadi siddha samskara. Their former impressions are aroused simply by hearing about and seeing Krishna. So it's just the nature. As soon as they come in contact, they just immediately go in that direction. So they're So it's anadi, it's nitya siddha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then for the same position of anadi, one doesn't get interested in Krishna, so one comes here.
Right.
But it's the same position of eternal eternality. That's why it's called eternally. So it's not my time and space, it just means. 3278. Sambarama priti gradually increases in three stages to prema, sneha, and finally raga. Yeah. An example of sambarama priti, Sai Baba from the 10th canto. Today, all my sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worthwhile. Since I will offer my obeisance at the Supreme Lord's lotus feet upon which mystic yogis meditate. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.38.6. Srila Prabhupada. Reverential devotion for the Lord gradually increases and transforms itself into ecstatic love, then affection, and then attachment. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 38th chapter, verse 6, Akura says, because I am going to see the Lord today, all symptoms of inauspiciousness have already been killed. My life is now successful, because I shall be able to offer my respects unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 3280, another example. When will I have the good fortune to offer respects to the Supreme Lord in the form of a cowherd boy, fond of the Kadamba forests on the banks of the Jamuna River? Footnote 24. Offering respects in verses 39 and 80 are taken as signs of sambrama priti. Srila Prabhupada. Another devotee in ecstatic reverential affection once said, when will that glorious day in my life come when it will be possible for me to go to the bank of the Jamuna and see Lord Sri Krishna playing there as a cowherd boy? Right, so the reverential can have different, what form of Krishna, but can still have that point of service. That's still that kind of aspect of service. Yeah. And then you see is that it contains food. So, in other words, you have the priti, or the, in this case, the rati aspect, where they have the attraction, so that attraction can move forward to prema, then to sneha, and to raga.
Yes.
Attachment. Like that. Well, you see, I think, before in the shanta, that it just basically stays at that point of rati.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure, did it move forward to prema? No.
It's not described.
It hasn't been described there, because it's just... Because they're always seeing in that point of knowledge and all that, and so there it's, but rati is the first stage of priti, so therefore it's counted within it. So in that way, then prema is a particular the second stage. But here is that from that they move forward from however their position, they move forward to prema the second, then sneha the third, and then there's raga the fourth.
Here the order is different.
Okay.
And other places it's
different. It depends upon, I think, the rasa, how it moves.
Yeah. Because there's mana and then pranayama.
Yeah, everything. So they won't get up to that. But for the, I think, the gopis and the rag will be after, because the mana comes first, then you have that. Because you have to get upset first, then you have that. So it's just the nature of the rasa. Well, here it's just they become, that attached and, okay. 3281. When sambrama priti becomes fully, firmly fixed, with no doubt that it will decrease, it is called prema. The anubhavas are such things as complete attachment to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. When there is no distinguishing of this ecstatic love, or no diminishing of this ecstatic love, and one is freed from all kinds of doubt, the devotee has reached the stage called steady love for Krishna, like Dhanasthai Bhava. In this stage, all expressions of unhappiness by the devotee are called anubhava, or ecstatic loving symptoms. Since I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, you may throw me into the waves of suffering in the hell called Avicii, or throw me in the waves of happiness by bestowing cities like Anima, but I will not change my prema for you. Srila Prabhupada. The symptom of ecstatic affection with reverence felt by Bali Maharaj was expressed as follows. My dear Lord, you have simultaneously punished me and showed me your causeless mercy. My conclusion is that when I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, I shall never be disturbed in any condition of life. Whether you give me the opportunity to enjoy all the mystic yogic perfections, or you put me into the most abominable condition of hellish life, I shall never be disturbed. So you see here is that the anubhava is such as complete attachment to the Lord. And then Prabhupada says in this stage, all expressions of unhappiness by the devotee are called anubhava. So you see that Bali Maharaj has said, whether I'm so fixed in my love for you, so whether you create a very wonderful situation for me, or it's a very unpleasant situation, but his affection is not going to change. So you see that's one of the things, is that when things aren't nice, that they're still fixed like that, then that expression is... that's complete attachment. Yes.
Also because they have that confidence in relationship because they have possessiveness on Lord. In another way, that's why prema is described as where there is possessiveness.
Mm. Okay, so then if there's no possessiveness, then that'll be only the shanta. So it'll be rati, it'll be bhava. Okay. Yes.
It also sounds very similar to the last verse of Shikshastaka, just the external.
Yes.
Differ.
Yes.
One is Madhurja, one is Dasya, yeah. But otherwise it's the same kind of thickness.
Yes, yes. But the you see is that the it'll take one up to Raga.
Yeah.
But this other will take you to Mahabhav, like that. But yes, it's the same position. That's why you have prema is one thing, but it has all these different features of it. So there's common amongst all the rasas. Of all the attractions, all the different things like that. But at the same time, is there specific paths that the certain rasas may be following. Even if they have a common element, that it may be their approach to it is different. Hmm. It's like the weakness or something like that. Then they want to get it together and be strong. So it increases there. While the other one, they feel that weakness and it may take it into some other, anubhava and stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the mechanics of it are the same. It's just how one's moving through it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just like, let's say we have a very big feast, and in this feast there's so many preparations. And that have their own unique flavors and then the various combinations. And at the same time, let's say there are so many varieties, I don't know if you call it condiments, all the different kind of like sauces and chutneys and pickles and all these different things that can go with different ones and different things like that. So depending on the individual, he'll be putting more of this, less of this. So when you say this is there, but it's just like how much is put. Like I've seen, someone, let's say they have a burger, they'll put two of those little round pickles on the top. Someone else will put 10. So it's the same taste, but it's just depending on the flavor, it has more of a prominence or less, or things like that, or you mix this in there or that in there, so many things. So it's unlimited, but the things what the effects they have are still the same. It's just a matter of where they're applying it, to what degree, what the intensity it causes, how far it takes them, you know, from the Rati to Mahabhava, like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, in the eastern part of the ocean, Rupa Goswami mentions that always Kama Rupa follows Prema Rupa. So it means that order is always there. We can't talk about, you know, Madhurja before attaining
Prema.
Otherwise, it's just void. It's a nice talk, but it's void. Basically, it has no...
It's a great talk for chanting japa, too. Yes, because prema is there. That's the thing. And then these other ones will be there. If you haven't got prema, you can't have anything else. Yes.
Lord Shiva mentions to Mother Parvati about Rudrasur when Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed by her.
Okay. Yes.
Then he says that the devotees of Narayana are like, they don't worry whether they are in hell or they're in heaven. Like, all they worry about is Narayana Parasarvena Kutasya.
Yes.
That is actually the distinguishing identity of Vaikuntha, people of Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.